Welcome to Turning Problems into Profits. I'm your host, Ann Hessian. This is the nuts and bolts business show for small business owners. You got problems, we got answers. And my guest on the show today is Tom McPhee. I met Tom recently, and he started to tell me about what he does and some of the things that he's discovered about the financial money management planning for small business owners. And a lot of what he had to tell me was stuff that I've never heard before. And I know if I haven't heard about it, a lot of you guys out there have not heard about it either. So I was absolutely, Tom, you got to come on the show and talk about this. So I'm very psyched to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Ann. It's good to be here.
All right. Excellent. Let's just jump right in. All right. So tell me the short version of how you got where you are, because this is not how you started out. You've owned your own business one way or the other for a long time. But what you've discovered and what you're doing now is not how you started out. So just tell me how this came about.
Well, I've been a small business owner for over 30 years. And in 2005, I was standing in our living room, and my brother-in-law had just had Thanksgiving dinner with us. And he was mocking me and saying, "You'll never go on vacation with all your family on an airplane because you can't afford the airplane tickets." And it really ticked me off because, you know, yeah. I was making more money than he was at the time. I knew that. But he was absolutely right. And that's what really irked me, because I was working from 7 in the morning until sometimes 8 or 9 o'clock at night, come home and huddle with the family on the sofa while I eat my dinner just to have some cuddle time. And he was, you know, he was right. I couldn't afford to take the time off work to take mm-hmm. that vacation that I really wanted. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that caused me to start looking around. And, you know, sad to say, it took a robbery of our house before I really opened my eyes and discovered this truth. And
how did that?
Well, relate? You know, I was at work one day and my wife called and said, "Don't come home because we've been robbed and the SWAT team is in your house."
Oh, my gosh.
So when I did get home, I went to the neighbors and they had the canine units out and everything, but there was a mess, and they always rob everything you can't replace, you know. So we were cleaning up after robbery, and there was this letter from a colleague that had surfaced on my desk through the mess. And my wife said, "Have you called this guy?" And I said, "No." She said, "I want you to, because this fellow had saved $30,000 in taxes the year before."
Wow. Did you hear that? $30,000 in taxes saved. So I know my business owner's ears are really perked up now. Right? Okay. So as your wife's did. So, okay. So then what happened?
So I called this fellow and he told me to read this book, and I got so intrigued with it that I thought, you know, we really need to try this. And so we put it to work, and 2.5 years later, I was basically keeping 40% of my overhead that normally would have walked out the door.
Wow.
So not only did it save me taxes, it actually helped me to have like a pay increase with mm-hmm. now I'm harder for it.
That's a pretty hefty pay increase.
It was very nice, because now I could afford to take my family on vacation. And we do that quite frequently. And
so where'd you go, the first one?
The first one we went to was beachfront property in San Diego, and we stayed 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. All right. That's a big shift, right? From
it was huge.
To 2 weeks away with the whole family and all your kids and everything. That is awesome. All right. So now that we've got everybody's attention, because I know one of the most common things I hear from business owners, it's three things, right? They all want more leads. They all think that's mm-hmm. the biggest solution. And let's face it, it's an important thing. But you know, more money and more time, right? That's what they want. So without actually it being about you bringing in more business necessarily, you got more money and more time, and we're able to have the time with family. So let's talk about how you made that happen. And one of the things that I think is probably immediate or relevant to this that you and I started to talk about is how you're actually managing the money, like why the money management is more critical than actually the rate of return. So explain that, if you will, so that we can all really get it.
Well, I think one of the best things to do is look at someone that manages money very well.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'd all agree that Warren Buffett does a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, hard to argue. Yeah.
And Warren says that the most critical factor in money management is that your capital return to you So we're not chasing rates of return. We want to make sure and ensure that our money comes back to us, because if it doesn't come back to us, then we have to go out and work for it again. And so part of money management is learning, how can I use my money and have it come back to me again so I can use it over again? So what Warren Buffett does is he makes sure that his investments are very well collateralized, because he does not want to lose that hard-earned capital, because that's the hardest thing to do. And so I use a system, and just like I was taught, an old principle called the 10-20-70 principle. Mm-hmm. And a lot of business owners probably have heard that. It's in The Richest Man in Babylon, and George Clausen wrote about it. But very few people really implement it. And the implementation goes like this. You save 10% of whatever walks through the front door. Because if you're not saving that, you have no seed money, which means you have no capital of your own. Mm-hmm. So then you are stuck having to chase rates of return trying to build capital. But if you'll save that 10%, now what you have is a reservoir of capital that you can finance your own business or someone else's business, as long as you make sure that capital returns to you. And when it does, then you get, you know, the interest plus the principal back, which makes your seed money grow. Now, once that seed money grows to be large enough, you can start financing the 70% in your life, which is your lifestyle and, you know, expansion of business and vacations and trips like that. So the 10-20-70 rule is really crucial to not just to save 10%, but to leverage that 10% once it's you've got enough capital there to really make it work.
Mm-hmm. All right, great. So can you give me an example of that? Like what for your, either directly from your own experience or from a client that you've helped? Because like you said, some people have heard it before, but how do you actually do it? Because a lot of people are in there like, sure, I can't, right? Their experience is, I'd love to set aside 10%, but I can't, right? So how do you get started with that?
Well, I think of Ethan when someone ever asked me that question, who was a young businessman, entrepreneur in the Midwest. And he just flat out told me, he says, Tom, there's no way I can save 10%. I said, well, I want you to prove me wrong and prove yourself wrong. I want you to try this for 3 months and just take 10% of whatever walks through your front door, stick it in a little envelope in your top dresser drawer, and call me in 3 months. And he did. Well, Ethan was really struggling in business, like a lot of new business owners are, and he could not even pay the propane company enough money to fill his propane tank up. Mm-hmm. So he would have them coming out every couple of weeks to give him a little gas to get through the next couple of weeks. And the service charges he was paying that delivery truck were incredible.
Mm.
So 3 months into this program, he calls me and he's so excited. And he says, Tom, you won't believe this. He says, I didn't even miss the money. And I've got a chunk of money up there now in my top dresser drawer. So now we had enough money to finance his propane tank. Mm-hmm. And so he filled the propane tank up full. And then the money he was paying the service man, he started paying to himself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in a very short period of time.
Start small, right? Absolutely.
Little steps lead to bigger ones. So, or eat an elephant one bite at a time.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, 3 years later, he's taken two family vacations with his five kids and one special needs child, which he never, ever was able to do before. And
awesome.
That is just incredible. Now, that's someone on the low end of the business scale. But, you know, it works the same with people that, you know, make lots of money, too. So we've got another client in Minnesota who, you know, was struggling just to put money away in his 401k plan for him and his employees. And when he discovered this, he decided, this sounds a whole lot better than what I'm doing. And so he got access to his 401k money, and he ended up financing the office building next door to him. So now he owns it, and he's got five surgeons leasing from him, which is way better than his 401k money ever performed for him. So again, it's about the management of money. And when we lose control of our money and its management, it's like bleeding to death. It's like our blood flowing outside our control. And that's never a good thing.
That's funny you say that because there have been times in my life, you know, when I've been more struggled financially than others, right? I mean, I'm an entrepreneur too, so that's part of the deal, right? There's
Yes.
those ups and downs as you're learning, and that's the phrase there's definitely been times when I've thought, my bank account is hemorrhaging.
Yes.
Get something in there, stat, right?
Well, you know, and,
yeah,
you
and,
know,
that,
let's
and that's
say,
a scary
say,
feeling. And I think I don't know if there's any business owner out there who can't relate to that they've had at least those times.
Right. We all have. If we've been in business, we know it. And, you know, the old save for a rainy day fund, I don't like that terminology because as soon as you save for a rainy day, it's going to rain.
Right.
So let's save to make our business better and stronger and grow. And when we look at it that way, then our capital returns to us and we can use it over again. And that's the key to any good money management program is you become the one who's velocitizing money and keeping that volume of interest instead of letting the banks and other people do that.
Velocitizing money. That is a great phrase. Velocity's always been one of my favorite words, but I've never really heard it as a verb before. That's great.
Well, it's the velocity of money that bankers and finance companies and credit card companies do that creates the volume of interest that they thrive on.
Yes, absolutely. So, that's the speed is where the profit is. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Very cool. All right. So let's talk about another thing that I've heard you talk about. And this a threefer, right? Is you said you basically figured out how to actually finance your business. So increase the sort of cash flow and liquidity and ability to have cash available to do things for your business, get a personal tax deduction, and have sort of essentially be better set up for life insurance and all at the same time. So how does that work? Because I have never heard that, but that's like a threefer. Because who doesn't want to be able to finance their business more, get a personal tax deduction, and be better set up for life insurance all at the same time?
I don't know anybody.
Who wouldn't want that? So tell me how that works.
Well, you know, I discovered this by looking at what the banks do.
Okay.
Bank of America owns $17 billion of premium in life insurance.
Wow.
That is
billion of premiums.
So they are buying more life insurance and putting as their tier one asset than they own in buildings or equipment or property.
Wow.
Why is Bank of America doing that? They're doing it because it's the only financial
tool.
Not
for altruistic reasons, I'm guessing.
Well, they make money doing it. That's why they do it.
Sorry, keep going.
The reason they do that is because they can leverage those premiums, still earn interest on it, and finance what they need to do in business.
All right, we'll say that again. Okay, so they do it because?
They can still leverage those premiums and still earn interest on them and use the capital that they leverage to finance whatever they need to do.
Okay, great.
Now, when they pay those loans back to the life insurance company that they leveraged against their premiums, they also get to participate in the profits that generates the life insurance company.
Really?
And the fact that they borrowed the money against their life insurance policy to begin with gives them a deduction on their taxes that they normally wouldn't have, just like if you borrowed money from any financial institution.
Right. Yeah, right. You get to pay. You get to deduct the
so
that you're paying.
When I put that to work in my business and I coach other business people to do this, they transfer their savings, their 10% savings or whatever they're saving.
Whatever it is that they've set aside, that 10%, let's assume it's
right.
Like, right?
And they put that into premiums, into life insurance. Now, when they collateralize that policy and borrow against it, loaning it to a business, they have an investment risk just like if they borrowed money from a bank. So when they pay that loan back to the policy, they continue to get a personal deduction on that investment risk.
So I'm sort of getting it.
Okay.
Trying to get how it's set up. And it's not, it sounds like it's something that, and tell me if I'm wrong, that you can't really just go out, take that basically, like just go out and do it yourself tomorrow. It's more like it really needs to be set up and structured in a certain way, right? Which is what you help people do.
That's correct.
Okay.
Because most life insurance policies, if they just try to fund them, they're not going to have anything to collateralize for 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
So
got it.
First, then, and we want to make sure that someone's getting enough money in there to collateralize within 30 days at least, because otherwise money sitting in someone else's control is bleeding to death, right?
Right. Okay.
So whether it's in a policy you own or whether it's someplace else, we want you to control that money. Mm-hmm. And when they do, and let's say we borrow it from the life insurance company and the life insurance company charges us 5% on that loan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that becomes a 1040 deduction for us if we loan that money to our business, because our business is a separate entity from us tax-wise.
Wow.
Now, the company then can pay us back, and they pay us interest, and mm-hmm. we have to declare that as interest income. But because we own the company, that's a wash. But the interest,
okay.
what the company paid us and what we collected, that washes out. But now we still have this 5% we pay to the insurance company, and that's a deduction. So we're ahead
wow.
on
wow.
that leg of the
okay.
journey.
All right. So it's not a simple thing. I'm following it pretty well, but I also want to really try to make it as clear as possible for the listeners. So can you give me an example or tell me a story about sort of at least the basics of how that worked for you or for one of your clients to help us flesh this out a little bit more? Because I'm guessing people are like, this sounds really cool, but I'm still not quite getting it. So
sure. Okay. So we bought a car for the corporation. And mm-hmm. it was $55,000 car. We borrowed that money from our life insurance policy.
Okay.
We loaned it to our leasing corporation to buy the car. It could mm-hmm. have just been any corporation, though. It didn't have to be a leasing corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And now the corporation pays us a fee to mm-hmm. lease that car. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then in our example, the leasing company gets to depreciate the vehicle.
Right.
And the leasing company then pays us back personally for the money we loaned to it.
Wow.
Now, we pay the insurance company back, and we get a personal deduction on top of that.
Wow.
So at the end of all this time, all the money we paid for the car plus the interest is back in our policy, and we're still driving the car.
Wow. All right. Did you guys get that? Everything you – say that last piece again. All the money you paid for – go ahead. Say that again.
So all the money we paid for that vehicle
mm-hmm.
is back in our policy along with the interest.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still driving the car. Plus, we got a tax deduction for doing it.
All right. Is that being a little more clear, guys? Oh, my goodness. This is why I wanted to have Tom on the show.
Okay.
very cool. So can you give me another example of how somebody's used that? Maybe how you've helped them set up something?
We have a client in Detroit, which is not doing real well economically these days.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And one of our clients there is a chiropractor.
Okay.
And he wanted to expand his business because he's a very good businessman and he's growing in a very poor economy.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted a digital x-ray machine, which is about $45,000.
Yep.
Same type of thing. He borrows it from his life insurance policy.
Okay. So he borrows the $45,000 from his life insurance policy.
Yes.
Okay.
He goes to the leasing company mm-hmm. that leases these x-rays. And he says, I don't want to lease it. I want to buy it.
Okay.
So now he buys this digital x-ray machine.
With the $45,000 that he borrowed from his life insurance policy. Okay.
And now his corporation, his chiropractic office, pays mm-hmm. him back personally for that loan.
Okay. Right. Because it was his money. Right.
Right.
Okay.
So
now he's got the money back.
He's got the money back.
He can put it right back into his life insurance policy.
That's right.
Right.
And when the corporation pays him back for that, it's a neutral tax situation because the corporation got to write off the interest
right.
and he had to declare it.
Right. Right. So that's flat.
But right. now when he pays that money back to the life insurance policy, he gets a deduction because the life insurance charged him interest
right.
for that loan.
Right.
And that's a personal deduction.
Wow.
So that's and the interest he paid to the to the life insurance policy made the life insurance company more profitable, and
right.
those profits he gets to share in because he's a participating owner of that company.
Wow. Not to mention he gets this x-ray machine, which is obviously something that's going to increase his revenue for his business.
That's correct. So now he's got the digital x-ray machine. He's got all the money back, plus the tax deduction, plus the interest, plus the profits called the dividends from the company. And he can go do something else with that money.
Wow.
That's called velocity of money.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
And who gets to keep the volume of interest this time?
He does.
Yeah, and who gets the dividends and who gets the tax deduction?
He does. He gets
that's
all of
cool.
That
and
is that's, beyond cool. That is really cool.
So that's why I get really excited about this when I'm sharing it with anybody, because yes, this works really great with small business because of the tax deduction.
Right. And yeah, let me just point out, you know, I'm talking to small business owners. This really obviously could work for anybody to do the things, but it is an especially powerful thing for small business owners, where what you can do with that money is to be able to go out and do something that's going to make your business more profitable. It's so common that I hear from clients of mine and from listeners to the show that there's something they want to be able to do for the business, whether it's a piece of equipment that would, you know, double their production. Or a type of market that they want to go into, but they need the marketing, and they just don't have the cash flow yet to do it, and they're really being held back, and they're sure it would way more than pay for itself to do it, right? They've run the numbers, they've made the plan, they've done it, but they know it's like, man, if I could invest $40,000 in this, it's going to pay me back within 8 months.
Absolutely.
But they don't have the $40,000.
And a lot of times why they don't have that is they've been funding these things called qualified plans, mm-hmm. otherwise known as IRAs, 401ks, SEPs, mm-hmm. 403b plans.
So let's talk about that, because that's another thing I hear you say is how your 401k could be killing you financially. So let's talk about that.
Well, very interestingly, Forbes magazine ran an article recently and say after years and years of preaching the qualified planned deferred method of retirement savings, we're no longer saying that, because we believe that if you skip your 401k, you're actually better ahead.
Interesting. And when was this?
That was just in 2013. And I believe that article was written in March. So, so that's exactly what I learned when I started this. I realized here I'm paying into my qualified plan, my SEP, mm-hmm. and my company is matching it. And that is just like crazy, because who's paying all those taxes?
Well, you are. Yeah,
I will pay all those taxes sometime in the future, because right. they're just deferred. So so if people are funding these 401ks, which they are, then I believe that's why we've seen savings drop from 1974, which was over 14% of our income, to less than 3% today, is because people believe these 401ks are really going to work for them. And so they're not saving in traditional methods anymore. They're dropping them into this investment.
Right.
Then a 2008 comes along and you lose 48% of it.
Yeah, which a lot of us did. Absolutely.
And 401ks are very non-liquid. There's only...
Yeah, that's a good way of describing them.
So that doesn't give you very much manageability over them. And that's one of the critical things that we always look at, is how manageable is your money if you park it someplace?
Right.
And if it's not manageable, then someone else is going to use that money more than you, and you're going to bleed to death.
And they are going to use, I mean, no matter what.
They are.
If you're not leveraging your money, somebody else is.
Somebody else is. And that's why they
That's all there is to it, right?
And they can't afford to give you any rate of return on it if they're not leveraging it.
Right.
So what I did, Ann, as a self-employed businessman, I just stopped contributing to my 401k.
Mm-hmm. And probably there's people who are like, you stopped contributing to your 401k? Right?
That's all they do. Yes, exactly.
What's and wrong only, with you?
And then I did the math, and I realized that if I would withdraw all the contributions I'd made to my 401k, that I could make my money back on the penalty, which is 10%, and all the taxes that I paid within 18 months.
Wow.
And at age 45, that's exactly what I did. And I dumped that money into premiums of whole life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And in less than 18 months, I had recovered the penalty that I had to pay.
Wow.
On that money. And that money keeps working for me, velocitizing it, mm-hmm. without ever paying taxes again.
Wow.
Just like we talked about in buying equipment. So, you know, Forbes is saying that the 401k is probably not the best idea. CNN Money Magazine says that the average American will lose $150,000 in hidden fees and service charges over that 401k.
Well, that's everything, right? So 401k, they're charging you fees whether they're making you money or not, no matter what. I mean, that's huge moneymaker for them.
And then we got hanging over our head the fact that the government, the federal government, keeps looking at these 401k funds as a means of seizing to shore up Social Security or to run as guaranteed government retirement plans instead of individual retirement plans. And we've even got John Vogel, you know, the founder of Vanguard, saying mutual funds are the worst place to put your money. And what do 401ks invest in?
Mutual
funds. Yes. Then there's other people that are saying, you know, these mutual funds are tied heavily to student loan debt. And student loan debt now is
really
way.
Yes. I actually didn't know that.
So they're diversified into student loan debt, just like the diversification of subprime loans were in the real estate boom.
Right.
And I believe that we're looking at a bubble that's forming there.
I think that's very possible. Not to mention that there's just something that goes against the grain for me to have the idea that we're leveraging stuff against student loan debt. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like an ethical thing for me.
Well,
that we shouldn't be. I'm not. Do you know what I'm saying? Like that, it shouldn't.
It is.
Student loans shouldn't be that profitable. I guess is what.
There
I'm saying. You know what I mean? It should be something that we're. What more important is that we're just making more available? And I'm not talking about changing the whole structure, but I really like it. That's a whole thing that needs major reform. So
it does. And besides that, when you borrow from your 401k, you get double taxation because you have to pay the interest back with mm-hmm. after-tax dollars.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then when you take it out in retirement or whenever you take it out after 59 and a half, you get to pay taxes on it again.
You're right. I hadn't really thought about that. Yeah, you're paying the interest. I mean, you're paying the interest back to yourself, but still you're paying with after-tax dollars.
Yes.
And then you have to pay taxes on that again. So, yeah. They don't point this stuff out, do they?
No. And so, you know, Marion Snow says in her book that 84% of Americans will pay more taxes in retirement than they ever deferred in their working career.
Whoa, say that again.
Marion Snow says mm-hmm. in her book that the average
What's the book called? Just because
it's called Stop Sitting on Your Assets.
That's a great title.
Okay. And she points out and does the math very well in that book, showing that 84% of Americans will pay more in taxes on their deferred retirement plan than they ever deferred in their working career.
Wow.
And when you think about that, Ann, those taxes are paid with inflated dollars.
Right.
I mean, the dollar we have today is much stronger than it's going to be in 22 years. Because inflation is going up.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I know I've kind of been shooting out of a fire hydrant here.
It's a lot of information. This is definitely going to be one where people are going to want to like stop, rewind, listening. What was that? But that's what's great is that you guys can do that, right? And if you don't think you should be paying attention, I don't know what you've been listening to, because this is critical, right? This is
it is
in terms of long term success of your business. So, you know what I think might be helpful is, can you give me? I don't know whether it's actually a story or just more of a scenario. Like, imagine. Let me tell me what you think of this. Let me create sort of a typical small business owner who's dealing with like a little bit of a scenario. And then you tell me like how things might shift for him if he started, you know, he or she started to be able to learn this stuff that you're thinking, work with you and do some stuff. So let's say you got someone who's been in business for like 15 years, you know, they're like 800,000, 850 in revenue, fairly low profit margin, right? So they're working hard hours. They're not able to take those vacations, just like the situation you were in, right? Like, this is a huge number of small business owners that would be in this sort of a bracket, right? Mm-hmm. And we don't need to get into super details because I want it to be more representative. But so someone like that, what kind of a projection in terms of how things could shift for them over a period of, let's say, maybe 2 or 3 years? If they start doing this 10-20-70, they take some of that money and let's say they've got, you know, maybe they've got $100,000 in a 401k or something like that. Can you guys kind of give me a scenario of like, that's today. That's a mm-hmm. snapshot. What might it look like, 2 or 3 years from now if they really took this on?
Well, you know, when I was learning this concept, someone told me that it's kind of like planting different kinds of seed. If you plant a piece of corn, you want to see a harvest in 6 months, right?
Right.
But if you plant an apple seed, you don't expect to harvest for 5 years.
Great analogy. Yep.
So, you know, what we try to do is design a program so that, yeah, they're getting that harvest of corn in a very short period of time,
right,
because that encourages them to be able to do more. And
well, yeah, you'll have more. Maybe you can only do 5% right away, but then you start being able to do 7 and then 8 and then 9, and now you're at the 10. And then
that's right.
Yeah, right?
Yep.
As you generate that more immediate savings or more immediate revenue. So great. Totally get that. So
the best place to start is always at the beginning. And so we always go back to the 10-20-70 principle.
Mm-hmm.
And we really encourage them to save something.
Right.
Whether it's, like you said, 5% or 7%. Just save it, because mm-hmm. that is critical to this whole process working. It's critical to anyone's economy to save.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can get them to do that, and they can prove to themselves that they can do that and not feel like they're starving to death, then we can move on and develop the policy that mm-hmm. is the ideal place to park that money. But what I'm really careful of is I don't want to say, okay, let's set up this life insurance policy and find out 3 months down the road they can't afford it.
Right.
Because
that doesn't work.
That doesn't make sense. So now, let's say they get $10,000 into this life insurance policy. And immediately after that money's in there, they have 60% of that as collateral that they can use.
Mm-hmm. So say $6,000.
They got $6,000. They now can actually go out now and either finance an existing expense in their business or to finance a new piece of equipment.
Mm-hmm. Or a new marketing campaign, like I said, into a particular thing if they've worked
right.
And they know what they're doing going into something that they know, or as much as you can ever know, the business is going to be profitable for them.
That's correct. And so now they have to put on two hats. They have to mm-hmm. put on a banking hat, because they have to think like a banker. And they also have to put on the consumer hat, because a consumer, when they borrow money, always has to pay it back.
Yes.
But the nice thing is that they're wearing both hats.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. And the other cool thing that we haven't talked about is the policy loan is an interest-only loan for life. So it gives them time to get this process moving. So if they can borrow interest-only from the policy,
mm-hmm.
finance the equipment or the sales campaign or the marketing campaign
mm-hmm.
that they need to do. And all they really need to do for the first few months is to make sure that they can pay the interest on that loan. They
right.
don't even
and an interest-only payment on a $6,000 loan is pretty small. It's pretty
manageable. It's pretty small. Yeah. It might be $300 a year. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's really very small. And then as long as they've done it wisely, like that piece of equipment that's really going to, you know, double
yes.
their production or something like that, then obviously it's going to, they should be able to get it and pay the whole thing back.
And now quickly. When that marketing campaign or piece of equipment starts to kick in and
mm-hmm.
generate the money they're expecting, they need to be earmarking enough money out of those proceeds to make
mm-hmm.
sure they're paying the loan back.
Right.
So that it's with interest, so it's there for them to use again. And when that happens, that's the cycle. So it happens very easy, but it has to be very methodical or systematized
mm-hmm.
or people get frustrated. So that's where we help a client, is we come in and consult with them. We mentor them so that each of these steps that is new to them becomes
mm-hmm.
very familiar with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I really like to work with small business owners, is they already understand cash flow.
Right.
And all we're doing in is plugging in one more player in the game, which is themselves as the banker instead of someone else playing the role of banker.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really helps. I mean, it just makes so much sense. And I hope it's starting to get, it's getting more and more clear for me, you know, as we go through more examples, which is why I'm doing it this way. And I think that it should be coming more and more clear for my listeners as well. So, you know, my sort of projected average, representative business owner, right? So let's say he started with that. He's, you know, he was only able to do that. Set a little bit aside and was able to then set up the, you know, he probably could do, I mean, maybe could do all of that within that first year or so, right?
Sure.
Even if it took him a whole year, but he's still, now he's in a different situation. So let's say at the end of that first year, now he's already got that, the 10 grand thing that he was able to take out the six. He was able to invest it in, let's say it was new equipment, right? Or a new truck or a new, you know, whatever it was that's going to expand his reach, make it more marketable. He's at the end of the year been able to pay back that whole six plus interest. That's now generating an extra, let's say that that thing he invested in is now, it's now generating an extra $250 in revenue for him.
That's true. Now,
okay.
Now
his business is up over $1 million and he's still got that money to go and do that again.
He can use it again. And so now we start talking about expanding the life insurance because does any banker want fewer depositors?
I wouldn't think so, no.
No, because even though a deposit into a bank is a liability to a bank.
Mm-hmm.
So when we have this policy that we funded with $10,000, that policy is funded at the maximum it can be done when I design that. Otherwise, the IRS wants to get around and snoop its nose under your tent. So, but there's nothing wrong with buying another depositor, another life insurance policy.
Okay.
So over the period of time, you can build this reservoir of savings and life insurance that just like Bank of America does, where they just build this massive amount of revenue that they're still earning interest on while they use it.
Well, that's awesome. So then, so now we could just go around and do that same thing. So in 1 year, by doing this, our average guy, he's increased his revenue. He's been able to do that investment that he was hung up on and couldn't do. That's increased his revenue by a good 20% or more, whatever, depending on what it would think. And the money for that, instead of it being like a loan that he took out that he's still paying on it, which is the other way he could have done it, right? Instead, it's already back and back in there. He could borrow it again.
Yes.
Right? To do another investment and or he can then go and he can set up another policy to build from there. Very cool.
Now,
wow.
There's one little caveat I would like to just talk about because I've heard you say it twice. He pays it back in 1 year. Let's think with the banker's hat on for just a second. Mm-hmm. Does a banker want you to pay a loan off in 1 year?
No.
No, because they'll make more interest, right?
Right. So maybe he hasn't paid it off in a year.
So we don't need it. Yeah, if he's got cash flow, he can. Cool. If he doesn't, then why worry? Just pay it in as it comes in. You're just going to make more interest on the back end.
Right. So you could. It just gives incredible amount of flexibility.
It is. And in my book, Prescription for Wealth, I talk about Warren Buffett doing this with his tax return.
Wow.
And you can Google this and find out. But Warren Buffett is not real prompt on paying his taxes because he can pay interest to the Internal Revenue Service and use that money and make 10 or 15, 20% on it.
Well, that's true, actually. And they don't charge very much interest, the IRS.
That's right.
And so a low rate.
Why shouldn't we do that with a life insurance policy that's charging even a lower rate?
Right. So maybe do just continue to pay the interest only and we use that money for something. Very cool.
So as long as we can make that money work harder and better than it would in sitting in the life insurance policy, we should keep it out working for us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Very, very cool. All right. Well, all right. We're going to have to wrap it up because we're coming to the end of our time. But that was a good schooling session on things that I needed to get more information about and my listeners did. That was really great stuff, Tom. So I'm sure that there are people who are going to have more questions, are going to want to find out more about this. So how can they reach out to you? How can they find out more, read more, look up more, just get more information?
Well, the best thing to do is to go to the website www.yourblueprintforwealth.com.
Okay. So yourblueprintforwealth.com, all spelled out.
And there's a free report there that they can read, which will educate them more about this. That will explain more in detail about what we've been talking today. And then it'll invite them to go and they can go as far as they want to on the education or contact me from there.
All right. Excellent. So great. I thank you so much for taking the time to just really go through this and start to make it. It's not super simple. I mean, you're going to really kind of wrap your head around it, but I think you did a great job of really, I think, laying it out so that we can start to wrap our heads around it and really see. I think as a small business owner that you'd be crazy not to start to learn more about this.
Well,
and to keep your business just for the increase in cash availability and liquidity alone, for that reason alone, you guys got to check this out and find out more.
Einstein said that just because things are simple doesn't make it easy, but we shouldn't make things easier than they absolutely have to be. So otherwise, we'll take out some of the necessary components.
Absolutely, right? You don't want to go off and just be like, oh, I feel like I totally understand this now, because I'm sure I know I don't, right? Now I know enough to know that I want to know more, and I need to go out and find that out. So very cool. Thank you so much for being on the show. It's really such a pleasure. I love talking with you. I love what you've, I really love that you've not only taken this and it had transformed the business you had before with this information, but then have really gone on to be able to help so many more people with this information and make it available to them. It's just an awesome thing that you're doing. So, and I'm sure we'll be hearing more.
Well, and it's been a pleasure too. And I just hope that your listeners have been able to catch just a glimpse of the power that's behind this.
It's quite remarkable. My eyes are, I get so many thoughts, so many things running through my head, and I'm sure they do as well. So, all right, great. Well, thanks so much for being on the show, and I'm sure we'll talk again. I'd love to have you back on the show another time, and we can sort of take it to the next level. But for now, we're going to wrap up the show. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. It's your host, Ann Hessian, signing off for Turning Problems into Profits. If you have any questions about either the topic of the show for today or new topics, or want to just reach out to me to get more clarity on this as well as the time, you can always send me an email, ann@turningproblemsintoprofits.com, ann@turningproblemsintoprofits.com. And tune in next time. Talk to you guys soon.